Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good glorious day to you all. Thanks for joining with me here again for this episode of No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values are just potential BS. I don't intend to live in the BS side of life. I want to live on the real side, on the love side. I'm alive to love. Love's not only the command in this life, love is the reward. So I believe if we'll reach for that one and only credible truth and value in life of love, we will live. We will live above the clamor, the calamity, and the chaos of our world. Love lifted me is what an old song said. And I love the idea that I need a lift in this life. I need, you need, we need to be lifted above the clamor and the chaos of this world. So let's talk about love, shall we? So settle in, get a cup of coffee, or just put your feet up somewhere and join me on a little exploration today. I want to talk about the 10 principles of love, that indicators, if you will, that we are living for love. We are outside of the simplicity of just trying to exist, and we're reaching for the explicity, the explicit beauty of love. So get comfortable and follow with me, if you will. Remember, love is not only the command, it is the reward. Because if I really love, then those who are receiving my love, they may or may not take it into their heart and get any value out of it. But in either case, if I love, really love, if I'm just on the giving side and people are not on the receiving side, then love is still my reward. Because love, really loves, loving, heals me first. So here's how you can see whether or not you're loving. All right, here's 10 ideals that will help you take a good temperature for yourself. Take an inventory of whether or not love is active in you. All right, first of all, love expects. Now, hear that carefully. I don't mean that love has a demand, or that love is manipulative, or love is going to should on people. You should, and you should, and you should. No, it means that love has internal expectations of good things coming. Love knows that when I'm loving, I'm really, really being healed. When I'm loving, my life is getting better, not bitter. When I'm loving, I'm reaching outside myself, outside of selfishness, into unselfishness, and into some beauties that will give me the lift to expect. Love expects. Love has expectations of good things. Love is not cynical. Love is not lacking hope. I'll get to that too here in a minute. I'm trying not to repeat myself. But love really does know how to wrap its arms around healthy expectations for moving forward in life. Second of all, second principle of knowing whether or not you're walking in love is relational. Are you in relationships? Have you found the beauty, the significance, and the buoyancy of relationships? Buoyancy, you know what that is, right? It's when you wear a life jacket and you fall into the lake, and that life jacket is buoyant. It lifts you up. It holds you up. Remember what I said? Love lifted me. Love will be buoyant. It'll cause you to have relationships in one form or another. It'll keep you in relationships. If you're wondering if you should have a lot of relationships or a few relationships, there's no really hardcore answer to that. But we all should have some relationships, and those relationships should be continuous in some level. I know that we can't always keep every relationship we've ever had for a lifetime. Frankly, you know, just one raw reality of life is that people do walk on. They do walk on, whether it's emotionally or even physically. The Native American expression for death is they just walked on. Sometimes a relationship might die, but then sometimes physically people do die. And so we can understand that love cannot be permanent, but we also know that if someone were to pass away, someone were to die, you know, that love is still there. And the way we know that love is still there is that we're grieving. Grief is the evidence that my love has lost its physical object. So love is relational. Love will always keep you in some relationship. Love will not let you be a hermit. Love will not let you go hide in a hermitage. Love will occasionally go find a little hermitage, a little solitude, but love does not long for permanent solitary confinement. That's not love. Love is relational. Third principle of love is that it's contagious. We all know that, right? I mean, at least at some level, we know if I'm loving, I'm contagious. It simply means that if I'm walking in love, then somebody else is going to be inspired to love. Look around you. Check out the people in your circle of life. Are they becoming more loving? And if they're not, don't manipulate. Don't go after the BS side of life to BS people or should people into doing what you think they ought to do. Just be more loving. Because as you're loving, that love is a contagion. That love will be caught. That love will be managed in somebody else's life if they see it in your life. Sometimes we think we got to tell everybody what to do, when in reality, we just going to need to show them what to do. We don't need to be always telling people this is what you should do. Some of us just simply need to zip it. Zip it up, baby. Close your mouth a little more and let your light shine through your life. Someone once said that we ought to preach the gospel everywhere we go, and only when necessary, use words. Words are sometimes inevitable if we're asked. Sometimes a word is that inevitability. If there's a genuine inquiry from an eager student, but an eager student will watch. They will catch more than they've been taught. So it's important to realize that if your love is out there, then it's contagious. It's getting caught by others. People recognize this is worth living. I see it. I want it. I want what you have. A fourth principle of love and being able to know that you're living in some form of love, and that is that you're ready for action. Love keeps you on a consistent readiness, looking for opportunity. Oh my goodness, I just heard a story last night on the news, so inspiring, of a fast food restaurant somewhere in Minnesota that was, somebody started buying the meal in the car behind them. And so the next car came up, and the employee at the window of that fast food place said, "Hey, your meal's been paid for by the car that just drove on." And of course they were surprised, but they were inspired instantly. So they said, "Hey, I've got my money out already. How about I just pay for the car behind me?" And so then that happened in the next car. And you know what happened? I wish I could remember right now sitting here, but it was like three full days of people in that drive-thru. People kept paying it forward. Word got into the community. I think it was Brainerd. It could have been Brainerd. And let's just go with Brainerd. How about that? And in the story that was passing around on the sidewalks and the stores and the shops and the homes and the schools in Brainerd, people kept saying, "Hey, have you heard what's happening over at the restaurant, the drive-thru over there?" People are continually paying it forward. So it just went on and it went on and it went on and it went on. My point here is that love is ready for action. Love sets in action a domino theory, a sense that if I just push this one domino, it's going to cause others to fall. Maybe we need to see every step in our life just that way. What is my love quotient in setting an action? One small act, one small word, one small point of kindness and a contagion that I want to pass on. I said in the fourth principle, it's contagious. May it set me in a course of action to recognize that every moment, every day has the point of doing something that could cause a series of reactions in beautiful ways. You know, that's life, isn't it? One action causes a reaction. That reaction causes another action, and on we go. Unfortunately, it goes to the negative, right? Ugh. Like I say at the end of all these broadcasts, let's go out and do something beautiful. Because ugly, oh baby, ugly's been done to death. May we rise to the beauty, giving a readiness for action to beautiful things, setting in motion an action of beauty, because then it causes another action of beauty. Another principle of love is fifth principle that I want to share. This is fifth out of ten. Love dreams. Love dreams. You know, that's how you know you're a lover. You love life. You love things of quality, and you want to see the dream of that quality explode and express itself. And you wouldn't mind yourself being a part of that explosion and that expression. Love dreams. My wife is a dreamer. She will often ask me. She'll lean over and say, oh, am I just crazy to have all these dreams? And I just keep saying, baby, just keep being crazy, because that's the indication. That's an indication of love. If you're loving life, you're dreaming. You're dreaming of better days. You're dreaming of better health. You're dreaming of better circumstances. You're dreaming for others. You're dreaming for yourself. You're dreaming of good things. You're dreaming of beauty. Getting out and doing something beautiful, like I said a few moments ago. You're dreaming. How can things improve? How can things get better? Bobby Kennedy once said, some people look at things that are not and ask things that are not and say, why? I look at things that are not and say, well, why not? Meaning, if there's something to dream, don't ask, well, why should we dream that? I ask, why not? Let's dream for that. Let's reach for that. Let's go for that. And you know what's at the bottom of that? Love. Love's at the base of that. Let's offer ourselves as a container, a carrier of dreams that are born of love. Love is passionate. Number six here are the six principles of indicators, the indicators that I'm living a life of love. Love is passionate. Love doesn't just sit idly by. Love needs a passionate expression. You know, when I was a boy growing up, the old South, my dad's mom, she was a sweetie, and she believed in what I came to know was a sloppy wet kiss. You know, her kisses were not just simple little pecks. She was passionate about her kisses. She was passionate about her hugs. Oh my gosh, if you got her hug, you got wrapped up in, you almost suffocated in her hugs. Love is passionate. Love needs to be expressive outside the mundane and the gray, the vanilla. Love needs a little flavor out there. Love is looking for color in the world. Love is passionate. I know that we could overdo that at times. I know that sometimes passion, there's a proverb that says if you wake up in the morning and you're loud and noisy when somebody next to you is just kind of solemn and solemn, you could be irritating. You know, there's truth to that. But we need to recognize that passion is the fire that the heart needs for the warmth of others. Passion is the fire your heart needs for the warmth of others. This, you know, if passion is just for yourself, well then, you know, it can be irritating. But listen, if passion is the warmth or the fire of your heart, it'll grant warmth to others. It'll give others that possibility of staying warm on a cold season of life. The passion, I'm a lifelong preacher. I'm always inclined in my preaching to be passionate. I know I've heard some people say, gosh, I don't know how to take you. I don't know how to listen to you. And I understand that, and I have to manage that well because I have to know my audience. But I refuse to dial it back. I just can't hold back. If I hold back, I'm not being myself. And if I'm not holding back and I'm being myself, and it causes somebody to step back and wonder, whoa, what is going on with him? I may have to explain myself. I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. But I know this: passion is the fire of my heart that many will need in order to stay warm in this life. Another indicator that love is a part of your lifestyle is that you're initiating items. You're not waiting for somebody to call you. You call them. Let me drop a little practical hint for you into this. When you see somebody hurting or grieving, they've possibly just had a tragedy in their life on some level. I mean, whether it's a house fire or the loss of a loved one or even the loss of a pet. Don't just say, hey, if you ever need me, call me. That's a baseline okie dokie. But remember, most people hurting, most people struggling are not going to call you. You have to initiate. Call them. I mean, the worst that could happen is they'll say, well, thanks for the initiation, but I'm fine. But the best that could happen is that you initiate a course of action for yourself and for them. Love initiates. Love steps out of its comfort zone, crosses that line of oh, I don't know if I should or I shouldn't. Just go ahead and cross that line. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, because they needed to get over themselves. Listen, maybe it's the road called ourselves. Cross over get over yourself. There's got to be, for people who are struggling, there's got to be somebody in their life that shows up with an initiation of help. And others, they may call. You know, if they've got a plumbing problem, they call a friend who has a plumbing skill. If they've got a heartache counseling need, they'll call a counselor that they need help from. I understand that. But by and large, our problems are much smaller than that. And we're usually not going to call for smaller, what we consider to be smaller needs. We all need people in our life who will initiate the call, who will initiate the letter, who will initiate the text, who will initiate the moment that says, I'm here. What's up with you today? You're on my mind. I love it when people say, hey, you're on my mind. If nothing else, it tells me, oh, I haven't disappeared from this world. You do know I'm still around. That's a beautiful thing. Love initiates. Seventh principle of knowing whether or not love is active in you is that love has a larger perspective of life. Love looks at life in the much larger sense of what's going on way over the other side of my state, my country, even my world. Love is interested in a bigger perspective. Love doesn't want to just get folded up into some narrow little alleyway of seeing life. I think one of the great dangers, and I live in the country, lived in a rural setting for the last 32 years of my life. I think one of the great dangers of that is that you can get very isolated and disinterested in the bigger world. That's not healthy. And in fact, I would suggest that love will move you outside yourself, outside your geographic location, will move you outside of your own little grasp of life, and it'll reach for a larger perspective. Love is always learning. Love wants to find out reasons why. What's going on over here? What's going on over there? How does A affect B, which causes C? That's love working. And love will recognize that there are bigger perspectives than just my own little world. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. A friend of mine, Randall Worley, said that. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And what we are being invited to do with love is to see the world beyond ourselves, to grow ourselves larger, to see the world from our perspective, yes, but in a beautiful, beautiful, expansive way that is growing. That's the seventh principle of knowing whether or not I'm living in love. The eighth I think I've lost my count here. That was the eighth, the ninth, excuse me, is that that love will reach for longevity. Here's what I mean by that. Love is patient and durable. Love recognizes that sometimes I got to live large where I'm welcomed, and I've got to live large, and I've got to live a little smaller, excuse me, a little smaller where I'm not welcomed. But I'm going to love in the bigger picture. I'm going to love long. Long is my goal. Long is my goal. I don't want just short-term love projects. I want a lifelong love project. I do believe that there is such a thing as lifelong love. I do believe that in all of our lives, we need somebody somewhere, somehow that's reached past the decades and the multiple years that we've learned to love. And typically what that means is that those are going to be people that at one time or another, they were irritating because you're not going to be around all people without some time in a long-term vision. Without some time, they're going to be irritating. But love rises above irritation for longevity. And tenth, but not last, of all the principles and indicators that I'm living in love, and that is that love believes. Love believes. I said earlier, love dreams. Well, that's because love believes. Love has a belief system. Love has a system of faith and belief and hope. I don't hope just because I'm an incurable optimist. I hope, I believe, I dream because I love. Love pushes me to believe. And boy, you know, I'm like you. We're all in some form or another. The unbelievable happens in a negative way. We think, oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. Seriously, that would happen? And every time that comes along, I try as soon as I can to get myself away from that feeling of unbelieving about the goodness of the bigger picture of life. Because if I live there too long, cynicism is going to take over. And it's the longer it takes over, the harder it is to get out of my head, get out of my heart, get out of my body. Love believes. Love believes. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love believes all things. What? Really? Yep. Love has that vulnerability of believing all things. It can be stretched and people can abuse it. And people have abused it in my life. I know that. People have lied straight up to me. But I still believe. Even when I say that, I realize, wow, that does cause pain. But even in the pain, there's a reminder that I put myself out there, and I'd rather put myself out there than hide in some dark corner and grow small and cynical. Well, there you have it. Love expects. Love is relational. Love is contagious. Love is ready for action. Love dreams. Love is passionate. Love initiates. Love has a larger perspective. Love lives long, reaches for longevity, and love believes. That's today's broadcast. I'm so glad you came along today. We're going to close with a little extra time on the two exercises that I invite you to do with me, and that is, first of all, to breathe. If you would think about it carefully, there's one activity in life you cannot live without. It's not eating, because you can live without eating for days on end. It's not drinking. You can live without a glass of water for hours, maybe even days. It'll be hard. It's the one thing all humans need is breathing. To breathe. I can't go much longer than maybe 30 seconds. I guess maybe in my younger years, if I went swimming and I dove underwater to test how long I could hold my breath, I might be able to do it for 30 seconds. Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. But I know this. I can't hold my breath long now, but when I start feeling lightheaded, I gotta breathe. Now listen, if you breathe well, to breathe deep, to breathe all the way down into the bottom of your lungs, if you breathe in a healthy fashion, if you breathe in a sense that recognizes that my lungs are sometimes neglected, really they are. Sometimes I'm not feeling well because I haven't been breathing well. You do yourself a favor to pause. And if you can't pause, that as you're active, just go ahead and take deep, rhythmic breaths. All right? So let me exercise that with you. This is just exercise, but it is helpful, and you'll feel just a little better when we're done. Now watch this. On the count of three, I want you to take a deep breath, hold it all the way down in the bottom of both lungs, just hold it down there for a few seconds, and then exhale, clean exhale. All right, on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. And hold it. Then exhale. One more time, in, hold it in there, hold it down into that bottom basement of your lungs, and exhale. You'll clear your mind, you'll kind of clear the path in front of you, and you'll clear it out for the purpose of love. I'm not on this earth eating, breathing, sleeping, resting, gathering energy so that I can live for hate. I'm here alive to love. Lesser values are just potential BS. Now, the second thing I challenge everybody to do at the end of every broadcast is look somebody right in the eyes. Go ahead, make it weird, make it awkward. Look them right in the eye and say, I love you. It's tough, isn't it? But it's good. It's good for them. It's good for you. And you will change your perspective because life is here for the loving. May you rise and shine today. Go out and do something beautiful. Do something beautiful because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. Come join me again next week for this Alive to Love. All lesser values are potential BS. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.